It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And speaking of poop from a week ago, no, I do want to say, so Trish has me look at a film trailer for a documentary coming out called Poop Talk.
Okay.
That's literally a documentary where people talk about poop, like culturally speaking, I think.
Oh, culturally, okay.
Like how they feel about pooping, how people feel about talking about it, you know, that kind of thing. And I watched the trailer, and she's very excited. And I'm like, the topic is enough right there that I would never want to see a documentary on that topic. I have no interest in that. Unfortunately, the people I saw in the trailer, I will watch any documentary on any topic if they're the people you're talking to. There's a lot of comedians and stuff that I really like and that are really funny. So I'm like, and that trumped the fact that it's poop. I'm like, unfortunately, this is not a topic I'm interested in. Unfortunately, it's a cast of people that I would be interested in anything they have to say. So okay. I'll probably have to watch Poop Talk. I believe it's what it's called. It's just Poop Talk.
Well, I hope my wife doesn't find out about it.
You think your wife wants to see poop documentaries?
Trish
is thinking about poop. She thinks poop is hilarious.
Now, remember, I wrote a paper about how different cultures deal with this thing. So, I mean, you know, there's...
I didn't remember that. But.
There's anthropological and cultural whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
But just people talking about how, you know, how their first great experience with talking about feces was when they were 6 years old and everyone in the class laughed. I don't care about that.
Yeah. Duty. Booger. That's how you get popular with your little...
That's
another Simpsons reference. Oh, this reminds me, even though it's completely unrelated, though, I have a joke to tell you. You are going to love this joke.
Am I?
Yes, I'm dead serious. You're going to love this joke maybe as much as I do, and I love this
joke.
Does it
make reference to a farm that's thousands
and
thousands
of acres?
There's
no farm, thousands of acres, that doesn't involve poop or really any bodily functions, okay. Which is good. I saw this joke. It's really funny because my Twitter feed is just angry. That's what it is. And, I mean, I picked that on purpose. That's where my zone is. But it's hilarious that in all of this stuff, pissed off about what's happening to minorities, what's happening to women, what's happening in the government, all this stuff going on, and every once in a while somebody's like, oh, I had a latte today. Like, everybody just has normal, like, just in the, like, one out of every 30 tweets in my feed is just this normal. And this was one that was just a joke, like, and this was actually from somebody who's really pissed off too, but threw this in there, and she's like, so my girlfriend confessed to me that she has a statistics fetish. And I thought that was really weird, but she assures me that it's a standard deviation.
Oh, my God.
Come on! That is awesome! This is the best joke ever! Love that joke.
I knew what you were going to say, like, just seconds before you said it.
I saw it in your eyes. Yep. Come on, that joke is beautiful.
Okay.
Love that joke. I thought it was pretty weird. Nope.
Standard deviation. Okay.
It's wonderful. So, hello, everyone. Welcome to Poop Talk Podcast. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that talk about poop and statistics in the first 3 minutes before introducing the show. Yeah, no, I don't really have any idea. But it's a part two, people. I'm getting tired. This is the best you get. To that end, if you're joining us for the first time, stop it. Go. This is part two. Go back a week and listen to part one. Okay? We'll wait. You laugh every time I make that joke. I don't blame you. It's a great joke. But every time I make the same joke and you laugh.
I'm a sucker for little gags like that.
All right. They're probably gone now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay.
At work?
Yeah.
So, like, one of the only cool things I do at work is I am in charge of sending out the reminder when it's time to submit your timesheets.
As you've often said.
Yes.
And you tell little stories.
Yes. Well, recently I did one.
Big stories.
And I did it as the 12 Days of Christmas. But, you know, themed for, like, first day of Christmas, truly gave to me a timesheet due by this day, and da-da-da-da. Second one was two special memos, and we had, you know, I had references to red books, which is a thing at work, and stuff like that, and meetings, and stuff like that. So it was very themed. And I got to six or seven, and I was running out of shit, and I was just tired of it. And I was like, wait a second. I remember when somebody else did this. The McKenzie brothers.
Yeah.
And they went through day seven, and then they kind of talked, and then they were like, what day is it now? And the background went, 12! And they were like, oh yeah, 12, good day, and welcome to day 12. Five gold. So I did that.
Oh, I see.
In the thing. And a bunch of people who knew the reference thought it was great, and I was like, I gotta be honest, I only did it because I ran out of stuff to talk about. Yeah, so I was pretty happy.
It's the solstice today while people are listening.
Oh, not for us here now. No. But for you in the future.
It will be the solstice next Thursday. Or to us next Thursday. To you guys right now, happy solstice.
To us, 22nd.
The reason for the season. I know that makes people mad, but it's a fact. Jesus' birthday, there's no historian or biblical historian who thinks that Jesus was born now.
Oh, no. Emperor of Byzantine or whatever, Constantine.
So
put it here.
Yeah, Christmas exists here because of the solstice. And that's okay. The solstice is good.
I do think saying it's the reason for the season is a little chicken and egg, though.
How do you mean?
I mean, the season is the reason for it existing.
I'm saying that...
I know what you're saying.
People were celebrating the solstice before they were celebrating Jesus' birth. And because the solstice was such a big deal, they decided, well, let's put Jesus' birth there arbitrarily, because there's nothing that suggests that Jesus was born, you know, on the 25th, 21st, or anything around there.
And I'm just saying that it's the start of winter.
It's the middle of winter.
Or the middle of winter, depending on how you track it. And so the season is the reason for it.
Oh, the winter season, yes, that's true.
Yes. I don't care about the rest of that crap.
But there's some people that, I don't want to celebrate the winter solstice because it's pagan. That's ridiculous. I mean, even, pagan rituals and religion and stuff were built around it, but this solstice is a thing without any religion being attached to it. And it's the middle of winter. You know, the days are going to start getting longer from here on out. That's something to be happy about and to celebrate.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Get weird about it.
Your claws are too long for that. I'm wearing shorts, so that really hurts. Yeah, thanks.
But also, I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating Jesus' birthday now instead of some more historically accurate time. That's perfectly fine, too.
Yeah, if you don't want to celebrate the pagan thing, just don't celebrate that.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever. There's a bit that Todd Glass did. One time when he was talking about people getting really mad about say, you can't say Merry Christmas anymore. And they're like, yes, you can. Stop saying that. it's like if you went around and you're a guy and you go around and you say, hi, Glenn, when you see Glenn, and that makes sense, and he's a really friendly guy and everything, but then he starts doing that to everybody, like even not Glenn. You're like, hi, Glenn. Like, hi. And people, you know, they're polite. They're like, hey, but it's weird. And finally somebody's like, you know what? Not everybody's Glenn. Maybe just say hi, and that covers everybody.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my God, it's like you can't even say hi, Glenn, anymore. Yes, you can, if it's fucking Glenn.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of talk about this war on Christmas nonsense.
I am super close to just saying Hail Satan. Because fuck you guys, I can say whatever I want. And yes, you absolutely can say Merry Christmas. Because other people or companies opt not to is none of your goddamn business. If you want to say Merry Christmas, you say it. We don't have to. Shut the fuck up.
Well, here's another thing about all of that is, you know, in the middle of the 19th century, people started putting up Christmas trees because they saw it in magazines. And I mean, it really wasn't about religion or culture or anything else. It's like, oh, this is a cool thing to do around Christmas to decorate your house. People started telling their kids about Santa Claus because it was in magazines.
Yep.
Other people were doing this. It wasn't having to do with being a Germanic. I mean, Santa Claus, the Christmas tree, all of this stuff, whether people want to admit it or not, are very secular and are celebrated for secular reasons.
And are relatively recent.
And yeah, relatively recent and celebrated in secular ways, even by people who claim they don't celebrate
constantly.
Secular ways.
I still do Christmas. Have I ever believed Jesus' birth or whatever? No.
Well,
but
me,
I do Christmas because it's a family tradition and the family does Christmas and that's cool.
How many people celebrate St. Patrick's Day who aren't Irish, who aren't Catholic? And do they even worry about it? No. And does anyone say, well, don't call it St. Patrick's Day? No. But St. Patrick's Day is the religious name for this holiday.
Yes.
But nobody worries about it. So why should we make such a big deal out of this being called Christmas? Halloween, same thing.
St. Patrick's color was blue, not green.
Halloween is the religious name for Halloween.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks about it. So why should we care so much about whether or not you say Christmas?
I empathize way more with the modern Satanists. Because modern Satanists are kind of like the Pastafarians. They're just atheists who want to piss people off. And it's always kind of annoyed me. But I'm like, I'm starting to get it. Because of all this, like, you don't even know from persecution, motherfucker. Like, try it. Give me a time when, well, actually there was a time back in a long time ago. But give me a time in this country that you ever would get beaten up or jailed for saying Merry Christmas.
Exactly. Well, and you, the arguments I've heard about, well, it's a war on Christmas because, you know, the president, apparently Barack Obama said happy holidays. And they deconstruct that to say, well, you know, actually there's no other major holiday Hanukkah happens and we kind of make a big deal out of it, but in the larger scheme of Orthodox Jewish observance and belief, it's not one of their major holidays.
No, it's become one because it had to compete with Christmas.
So the argument here basically is, you're saying happy holidays, but you could only really mean Christmas, which isn't actually true.
Not even remotely.
But
a lot of other holidays, including other Christian holidays right around there. You got Three Kings Day, you got Boxing Day. I don't actually know.
Well, there's
Day
New Year's, for gosh sakes.
New Year's. Well, and really the holiday season, there's Thanksgiving, there's all sorts of shit.
Well, and it ignores the fact that a lot of people say, for example, I say happy holidays because it's not so much because I don't want to offend somebody or I want to take into account all these other holidays. It's because it's on the off chance that the person I'm talking to isn't Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there are a lot of people who aren't Christian who don't have just like with St. Patrick's Day or anything, they don't have a problem calling it Christmas or saying Merry Christmas. But there's some people who do. So why not do the safe thing and just say Happy Holidays? It's just being polite.
Or
not everybody in the United States is Christian.
Why not go ahead and say Merry Christmas, but shut up about what other people are saying?
Well, exactly. That's another thing is, what difference does it make what I say? I mean, I do it to be polite, but I probably don't have to do that. I'm probably not going to offend anybody.
Yeah. It was a comic.
It's just a ridiculous thing for people to argue about.
I don't even remember what it was. It was a comic that was in the newspaper. That's how old it is. But it was some sort of comic that was set in a retail setting. And the salesperson was saying bye to a customer. And she's like, happy holidays. And he comes back. He's like, I don't think you should be saying that. It's always been Merry Christmas, and I don't think you should change it just because of a vocal minority. And she's like, actually, most retail establishments have been saying happy holidays since the 80s, just because it's more inclusive and it's not a big deal, and most people don't seem to have any problem with it. And he's like, well, what about people like me, that do have problems with it? And she's like, you mean the vocal minority?
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's such a silly thing for people to argue about, but the only people who argue about it are people that, like you said, they're a small group of people, and it's like they don't have anything better to do, I guess.
I'm going to start making up fake things to say there that aren't even words. Like, Gostradisna! That'll be my new happy holidays for every religion.
There you go.
And I'm going to make up one for sneezing, too. Hordiforba.
I mean, I don't think...
what I will say when people sneeze now.
I mean, honestly, I don't think I've ever met a person who would be offended by me saying Merry Christmas. I just...
People,
I just say Happy Holidays as politeness.
I know pagans who get weirded out by bless you when you sneeze.
Oh.
And they'll do versions of it. I know friends of the pagan, bright blessings or things like that, because bless you sounds Christian. And I'm like, no, as long as I'm not saying God, I say bless you now. And I'm like, I don't know who should bless you or why, but it sounds nice. But pagans get weird about that. Everybody gets, like... when society conforms to a specific belief structure such that it becomes hegemonic and you think that's just the norm, if you are not part of that belief structure, it can be very traumatizing and it can be very empowering to go against that.
Well, it can be alienating too, sure.
If you are part of that power structure and it starts to lose its widespread hegemonic influence, people freak the fuck out.
I suppose, but that's not even happening. I mean,
but just the idea. It's not that they can't say Merry Christmas. What the real thing is happening is more people are not saying Merry Christmas than used to, because people either said it because they believed it, or they said it because they felt they had to, or they said it, or they just didn't say anything. And now people are feeling confident enough to say what they want to say, and so less people are saying it, and so in their heads, this is change, it's clearly an attack on me.
Weird.
No, it's the same thing, the sexual harassment thing. Oh my God, one of my favorite tweets on it was like, men are saying, well fine, if it's just every little thing, from now on, we won't ever hug you at work, and we won't ever flirt anymore. And women are like, that's fine.
Good.
And they're like, no, that was supposed to be a thing.
Well, you know, I used to say Merry Christmas because it was an excuse to say something nice to somebody.
I said Happy Christmas for a while because that was what they said in the
in
UK,
Britain,
and
sure.
I liked that
because
I'm a huge Anglophile, and it sounded different. It was kind of exotic. Happy Christmas!
And the reason I started saying Happy Holidays was because, or have a happy holiday or whatever, is because I thought that was nicer, more inclusive.
Besides, you know what is great and a strong part of American values and tradition? The old Christmas film, Happy Holidays. Or sorry, the Holiday Inn, in which they have the song, Happy Holidays.
Yeah, that's a song. That's a
classic
song.
Facebook keep ringing, Happy Holidays to you.
And anyway, what's holiday mean? Holy day.
You know what is weird,
why
though?
Why it makes such
You're
a good
familiar
deal
with the film that. Holiday Inn?
Sort of. Just
yes.
A little bit.
Are you familiar with the film White Christmas?
Yes.
It's almost the same damn movie.
Oh, really?
Yes. Producer and I had this problem because she grew up with Holiday Inn and I grew up with White Christmas. And we both were like, you're talking about the wrong movie. And then we looked it up. They are remarkably similar and they both star Bing Crosby. It's very weird. They both are like in the Catskills and they're putting on shows and like, yeah. Very weird.
My ex-father-in-law used to... He would say Merry Christmas. He worked for the post office, and he would say Merry Christmas to people, and he thought he was being very rebellious, you know.
Edgy.
Yeah. But I mean...
The people that are going to Starbucks now and saying, can I have a name for it? And they say, my name is Trump MAGA.
No.
Literally, this is happening.
That's interesting. Anyway. But, like, nobody
but
ever...
it's also so dumb. I saw a Squidbillies episode making fun of it. So.
Nobody ever disciplined him or anything like that. Why? Because you don't give up anything by becoming a government employee. You know, you don't... You still have free speech.
Yep.
And certainly nobody in West Des Moines, Iowa, was going to be offended by hearing... Not even someone who wasn't a Christian, probably. Because, again, it's a largely secular holiday, like a lot of the other holidays are now.
And
so
it's
not a big deal.
Lots of people say Merry Christmas to me, and that's cool. And I'll say back, if I think you're doing it to try and... to be like you're just talking about, to like trigger people or bother people or whatever, that's what I'm pulling out to Hail Satan.
Well, you know what?
I'm like, fuck you.
I
Merry Christmas, unless you don't mean that. Unless, because that's not saying Merry Christmas. That's saying, the words sound like Merry Christmas, but you're saying, fuck you and your difference. I'm like, oh yeah? Well, Hail Satan. I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to kill a goat. And I'm going to pray to my dark lord, and he is going to mess up your Christmas. So watch out.
I was on a call recently with a tech because my website.
Because you still secretly work for Applied Systems?
No, my website's broken, and it's still broken. But anyway, I was talking to this technician, and at the end of it, I said, Happy Holidays to this person. And this is a company that actually has offices in Hiawatha.
Okay.
So this person happened to be from Iowa, just, 30 minutes from here? So we're talking about stuff from around here, you know. And so I say, Happy Holidays, and he says, Merry Christmas. And kind of in a way, like, almost in a way, like, no, don't say Happy Holidays. Say Merry Christmas. And not rudely, but just, like, I could tell just a slight thing in his voice.
Okay, hey, say
it. It's like, come on, dude.
Oh, my God. That's what we should be doing. And also, I think it's going to be the title of this episode. From now on, we'll say Merry Christmas, Hail Satan. Like, put it all together.
As one thing.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Hail Satan.
Well, we have a tradition in our house around Christmas time that whenever you sing a song, it doesn't matter what the song is, it doesn't have to be a Christmas song, but if the song has the word baby in it,
yeah,
you've got to say Jesus.
Oh.
Between Thanksgiving and New Year's, if you're singing the song, and when you get to baby, it's got to have baby Jesus.
All right.
I can't think of a good example right now.
Do you play the Little Drummer Boy game?
No.
Are you familiar with the Little Drummer Boy game?
I am not.
Thing wherein after Thanksgiving... whenever you hear the little drummer boy,
mm-hmm.
you lose.
You lose.
Yes. The object, in theory, is to go, I don't know when the cutoff is. I think it's New Year's. I think it's to go from Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's without hearing Little Drummer Boy.
I like Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, but it's so omnipresent, I think, is why somebody picked that. Last year, Trish and I both lost. I got it from Trish. I think she got it off of Ravelry when she was staying out there. But last year, we lost bad the day after Thanksgiving. We went out to dinner with my brother, and at a certain point, Trish is like, and I'm like, what? And I listen, and I'm like, oh, fuck. This year, we're cruising pretty good at the moment, but you have to watch out for
I've heard it.
And people will fuck with you on it. Like it's like a Rickroll. People will, like, trick you into listening to it and stuff. So. But yeah, I haven't heard it yet.
Can you think of a song with Baby in it?
A Christmas song with Baby in it?
No, not
just
Christmas
a song.
Song.
Yeah, easily. Baby, Baby by Amy Grant.
I was thinking of that too, but I don't. Not that.
That's the problem because supposedly,
like,
she's
I was
secretly
thinking
talking
that
about
song. Jesus. Happy Anniversary, Happy Anniversary, Baby. You know that one?
Happy Birthday, Baby. No, it's Happy Happy Birthday, Baby.
I don't know.
Think it is. Yes. Jesus.
You have to say Jesus. Yeah.
No, I just love Jesus in it. In Trish's family. They have a Happy Birthday Jesus cake at Christmas.
No, I know. You told me that.
Yes. When I was driving around the other day, somebody had Christmas lights up to say Happy Birthday Jesus, which I thought, hey, it's like the cake. But then I'm like, I want to go to those people's house and be like, is Jesus home? I want to wish him a happy birthday.
Yep.
You put out the decorations for him today. That was a fail. Did I ever tell you? I think I did tell you the Facebook thing. Somebody posted a status that says, Jesus really tests me sometimes. And somebody wrote, and they're like, yeah, he does, but he won't give you any more than you can handle, and you just have to have faith and all this. And they reply, said, thanks, but Jesus is actually my 3-year-old son, and he ripped all the toilet paper off the roll again. The life of Jesus. I've told that story, too. When I was at the poetry thing, and we're putting together the book of all of our poems, And we were doing an assembly line of grabbing all the pages or whatever, and I see one, and somebody's written a poem called The Life of Jesus, and I'm an asshole teenager, so I'm immediately like, The Life of Jesus? I said that out loud. And then I notice the very bottom of it says, by Jesus Navarrete. And I was like, oh, Jesus, sorry. I didn't get, and sure enough, it was a poem he wrote about his life. I was like, sorry. I'm just like, who wrote The Life of Jesus? Oh, sorry. And he was a friend of mine. It's not like I didn't, like, we had made friends at camp and hung out together. I just didn't put it together in my head. I was like, oh, no, Jesus, that's cool. Yeah, so how will your week be?
All right, I guess.
Mine too. I think. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Let's hat something.
Okay.
Head it up.
It's weird that I can't think of any songs with Baby in it. That would show you how hilarious it is to say Baby Jesus with all these songs. It turns them all into Christmas songs.
In the South Park episode where Cartman starts a Christian band, he says, all you have to do is take just normal rock, but replace Baby with Jesus every time.
Oh.
And then he makes weird songs that sound very homoerotic towards Jesus.
Okay.
And that becomes a thing.
I guess I didn't think about that with our little game.
The body of Christ, sleek swimmer's body, all muscled up and toned, is one of them. And then he has another one that's talking about Jesus, baby, you're trembling, Jesus, baby, and I'm going to hold you close. And yeah.
Nice.
It's called Faith Plus One.
Anon wants to know.
Oh, Anon.
Has Tony's house stayed clean / organized since his neighbors cleaned it? Why or why not?
Well, fuck you. That's why.
Man, I wish you could have seen his face when he said that, because it was great. That was the best part.
No. I mean, in some ways, it's different. Things that were cleaned have stayed clean, but other things have not. And things that weren't really that dirty before have become dirty now. It's just, it's not, and it's so weird, because it's not a hoarding thing. Because it's not like, oh, this might be useful. No, it's so much, I'm just too lazy to throw it out. Like, it's not... oh my god, there's a ton of... I mean, certain things are better, but no, by and large, it's not. And it's something that we struggle with a lot. We are bad at it. We were never good at it separately, either. Both of us, when we were living on our own, it was pretty bad. And when we moved in together, it was better. And I still think it is better than when... Because when we lived by ourselves, it was really bad. But, yeah, we're not very good at it. And it sort of becomes a thing. It becomes sort of self-perpetuating. Because people don't come over, and so it's fine. Ezzy's really into William's feet right now, or his boots right now. I think this is her trying to get you to pet her.
Mm-hmm.
That's but what it's hard to tell with her. As she's gotten older lately, she's become more affectionate and more needy. She used to be very big on pretending she didn't need any hugs from anybody. It helps. Recently, she's come to accept her little brother, and so she's more relaxed than she used to be again, which is nice. It was a stressful time in her life. She's also, you may notice, getting a little bit round.
Is she?
Yeah. I don't think it's a danger yet, so that's fine. But I have noticed that.
Well, I mean, she's been going through bouts of not eating and stuff,
though. Yeah, she hasn't done that in quite a while lately.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Every once in a while, in like the last year or so, she's had ones where stuff like the times when the barometric pressure or the weather like shifts greatly, that one will mess her up for a day or two.
Me like too.
If it suddenly gets really hot or really cold, then she doesn't. Yep. But by and large, and she still has kind of a sensitive tummy. She pukes more than the other cats, but no, she hasn't had a hunger strike for a while.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just not good at keeping the house clean. So, to reiterate, fuck you. Mean question, and you should feel bad. Good thing I'm not the one that produces the note cards, that they are done magically, otherwise I might know who that anonymous person was.
Thank God for magic.
Elaborate but devastating revenge. This one's from Jazz.
Oh, good.
What is one of the nicest things that somebody has ever done for you?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What's that from?
That's from the musical version of Christmas Carol.
Oh.
It is a song that they sing in the future after he dies.
It's the Thank nicest you thing that everyone's ever done for me.
Yeah, I was in that. In sixth grade, I played Bob Cratchit. Didn't go super well.
No?
Mostly because I wasn't mic'd.
The nicest thing anyone's ever done for me.
Well, I'm an asshole, so I focus way more on the really nice things I've done for other people. I mean, the truth is,
I don't know.
I have been given such wonderful gifts. The nicest thing anybody probably ever did for me was to marry me, and Trish did that. There is one that stands out, and I think I told the story, but I think it was years ago, so only Azurtelin will remember it at this point. When I was in high school, 10th grade, 11th grade, somewhere around there, I got into trouble with a kid. There was a kid who was kind of a bully kid, and one day he decided he was going to, I don't know, I said something at the wrong time in class or whatever, and he decided I was his target.
Okay.
Him and his friend, this young woman who was also bullying things, and they were giving me shit, and it was the last class of the day, and they followed me to my locker, and he was very much trying to sort of egg me on to fight him, which I would not do. I told myself it was out of principle, but the reality is I just would have got my ass kicked so bad. And it even got to the point that while he's bugging me about this, she sneaks up behind me and smacks me in the back with a notebook as hard as she can, and it really hurt. But I wouldn't do it, and people liked that, and several people came to my aid. In fact, one guy who was on the football team but who was also in choir with me, like, came and told him to back off, and he, like, I think he walked me to the bus stop and things. But what happened is, at a certain point, a teacher showed up and was like, what the hell is going on? And it was my former freshman English teacher, Mr. Zukowski. No, it was freshman year, because I was still in his class. But he comes and he asks, and he made a point. He was very much of like, you didn't fight back. And I was like, no, I didn't want to. And he didn't really say much about it. I didn't get in trouble, obviously, though. And then the next day, in his class, he comes over, and he knew me well enough to know about it, and he sets down this giant book, and it's the complete works of Shakespeare. He's like, I found out in inventory we had an extra copy of this that we don't need. Do you want it?
Wow.
And he, like I said, he knew me well enough to know I liked Shakespeare. And I was sure. Like, yeah. And that book, I still have that book somewhere, but I spent years, and I have read more Shakespeare plays than I've seen, and I've seen a lot of Shakespeare plays. But yeah, to me that was awesome. And that was, like, he was super subtle, but, like, there was no question that, like, he was essentially rewarding me for not fighting. And I felt very good about that, and it was pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Third grade teacher got me into reading. That was also really nice. You know, everything my parents did for me, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean it. It's hard to think of a single thing when...
People cleaned my house a couple times. That was really nice of them, even if it didn't stay. Fuck you.
When you go back, all the stuff people just did that were really nice, you know. There's just lots of things. You know, to pick something that stands out, it usually is going to have to do with, like you were just describing, a situation where things were pretty desperate or pretty low or whatever.
Yeah.
Where, because even though the thing the person did measured against other nice things people have done for you might not be any different. Like if someone gave you $100 when you were short on rent,
yeah,
you know, someone some other time gave you $200, but you weren't short on rent then, you know, so that getting the $100 when you're short on rent really feels like it absolutely means a lot more.
Absolutely.
Especially if it comes from someone who, you know, probably needed that $100 just as much as you did. So, I don't know. It seems obvious and maybe a little corny, but I think, you know, one of the things that eventually brought me and my wife together, you know, we started out as friends, and we were friends during, you know, she was going through a hard time and I was going through a hard time, and you know, we were helping each other out in ways where either other people didn't want to, or other people couldn't, or we didn't feel like telling people what kind of help we needed, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been through a lot of things that if I called my family or whatever, they would have helped me out. In fact, before I divorced my first wife, that was like after at about the 10-year mark. At the 7-year mark, we were separated. And that was really hard because, you know, I come from a family that, I mean, I think everyone knows this by now, that I come from a fairly standard, you know, almost boring, you know, milquetoast type of background, right?
Almost.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, I
definitely know it.
I come from a family background that, actually, I want to say something about this briefly.
He lived family circus, is what he's saying.
I want to say something about this briefly. All my life, since leaving the farm, since leaving Melcher.
A greater metro, Melcher, Dallas metro.
I constantly hear people say that families like mine don't really exist and never really existed. This is a popular thing for people to say.
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, you know, the reason nobody wants to watch, you know, Mayberry or Leave It to Beaver or whatever is because that's not what family life's really like. Nobody has a family like that. Well, yeah, some people do.
Your family was actually like Leave It to Beaver?
No. What I'm saying is my family was a lot like families that a lot of people want to claim do not exist, never existed. And honestly, I was thinking about this just the other day, actually. And I was realizing when people say that actually kind of hurts my feelings. Because I don't know why it does, but it kind of does. It's like...
Well, I mean, there's very much a dis. You can't get more disenfranchising than claiming you don't exist.
Well, but there's also it's also because of the disdain. Like, it's I don't feel like they're really saying
just nobody was ever that nice to each other.
Yeah, yeah. I don't feel like they're saying these people don't exist. I feel like they're saying they shouldn't exist. Right? Like I know they don't really think they know whether or not these people exist. They haven't done
this. I think they like to say. I wouldn't go that far. I would say they're not necessarily saying those people don't exist. They're saying that those people, due to their nature and due to potentially small number, don't matter.
Yeah, yeah,
enough
yeah.
to acknowledge. Yeah, their
there you
existence.
Go. That's and that again. That's kind of hurtful. Yeah. Honestly.
And in my head, I'm like, I would never do that. But there is a version of that I would do. Completely off topic, but I just think it's funny. I want to talk about it. On a comedy I was listening to today, somebody doing stand-up, they were talking about Pat Robertson once said on TV, in front of cameras, real life, that all gays have matching rings with a little needle inside so that when they shake your hand, they can give you HIV. And of course, the comedian's joke was, "Yeah, all gays would agree on a matching ring. Come on, that would be insane." But I'm just like, I mean, it's patently ridiculous. But I was like, trying to break it down in my head, and I'm like, it gets down to the level. I will just start right here. It is patently ridiculous, and I guarantee it never happened that any person ever in the world used a ring with a little needle in it to secretly infect someone with HIV. Straight gay, and it, like that has never happened, and from there it just gets more ridiculous. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody would ever want to do that. If they wanted to give somebody HIV, which would be a terrible, like, there's no use. There's better, easier ways to make people suffer, and there's better, easier ways to kill people. But even if somebody did, a ring with a little needle in it would be the dumbest way to do it. There's nothing about being gay that would make it to happen. Why would all gays want to? So not one single one was like, I'm not down with that, and would like tell people they're doing that. Like, it's levels, but people believe that, and it's just insane. But this is the thing that it reminded me of your thing, because I'm willing to say nobody's ever used a ring with a little needle in it to give somebody HIV. But in general, I think it's so dumb to be like, no, there's nobody like that, because you don't fucking know.
No, you don't know.
Your family could have been super weird circus people on a level that I've never even heard about, like a new kind of super weird circus people. I'd be like, wow, I've never heard of that. I'm not going to be like, that knows the... Well, okay, depending on how weird the circus people... But I'm like, oh, you mean a religious family that was not overzealous and was nice to each other and you know, fairly... Let's be honest, fairly prudish and very...
And enjoyed getting like together that. For Thanksgiving and never and had fights.
Innocent and all that. Yeah, like...
yeah, well...
That doesn't seem... I feel like there probably... There certainly aren't a lot of such families now. And honestly, there may not have been a lot of them back then. But it's patently ridiculous to be like, no, that never... That was not a thing.
Well, that's something people say. But anyway...
People are assholes.
But because...
Matt Damon, stop saying that.
Because I was raised that way, I've gone through a lot of things in my life that I didn't want to tell them about. Not because they would judge me or that they wouldn't like help me.
Taffy pulls.
No, just lock-ins. Just things like, I just, you know, well, I was using the example of being separated from my wife.
Yes.
We had, my wife and I, my first wife, had a lot of problems before that that my family didn't know about. Because I didn't want to tell them.
Yeah.
Because, again, they would have been understanding, they would have been helpful, but I didn't want them to worry and I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to be the one kid in the family who had a messed up marriage and all that other stuff. Not their fault.
I totally get that.
Totally,
I totally
on me.
Disagree with that, but I totally get that.
And so when, you know, the separation happened and I had to sort of break it to everybody that things were really bad, I felt awful. And they were just like my family would be. They were accepting and they were understanding. And my youngest brother gave me a place to stay because I wasn't in my apartment or whatever. And that's probably... That's an example of when I was in a really low place. Since then, I've been in lower places. But before that time, that's probably the lowest I'd ever been. And my family was great. And my brother let me stay with him. And he was very gracious. And not only that, but they understood my reticence to talk about it and all that stuff. Like, they thought I shouldn't feel that way. And they knew that I wouldn't want them to feel that way. But they understood it.
And this is a thing.
And they were sensitive to it.
Commonly a Midwestern thing. I talked about it the other day when I got that Dr. Pepper out of the pop machine and I was trying to give it to people and they wouldn't take it because they didn't have the money. And I'm like, I don't want the money. And they're like, I'm not going to take it if you don't let me pay you for it. And I'm like, then you're not going to have it. I eventually put a note on it that said free and stuck it in the hallway and it was gone like that. Probably by one of the people who refused to take it before. But this was the thing. And I'm like, if the opposite was true, you wouldn't be expecting me to pay you. And they're like, of course not. But I'm like, yeah, fuck that.
That's right.
I do want to speak to a thing, though.
That's right.
And I'm not necessarily addressing you because you might be able to pull it off. But just as a general thing, when you are suffering, and obviously you don't want to just like whine to people and be a downer and all that stuff, but if you are suffering and you don't tell the people you care about because you don't want to bother them, that is almost always a terrible decision, and here's why. Unless your loved ones are really obtuse or you are a goddamn Academy Award winning actor, they're going to know something's up, but they won't have any information, that's much worse.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly right.
I've talked about this with Trish because sometimes she doesn't want, and I'm like, okay, you're upset and you don't want to put it on me because you don't, like, if she's something she thinks is her own fault, I'm like, okay, but I can still tell you're upset. So now I'm just freaking out about it.
Well, I appreciate your
like I said, it's not necessarily you because I'm like, you probably could fake it. I'd be like, everything's fine because, you know, you kind of look animatronic at the best of times. So.
Well, that's true, but also, for me, it comes out in just not being around as much.
Yeah, and well, and that's terrible too.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's not good either. That's not good either.
But this is the thing, and it's a... People do a lot of harm trying to be nice. We won't get there. But this is not uncommon for certain parents that they're always going to pay for stuff if you go out, even when the kids are much older, sometimes have more money.
Yeah.
They're like, I want to do it. And you're not being nice, and I genuinely think you want to be, but it's like you're preventing them from doing something nice. They want to do this thing for you, and you're like, no, I have to. I'm like, okay, you're making everyone less happy. Everyone involved is now sad. Not necessarily really unhappy, but definitely less happy than I would have been if you'd let me handle it.
Yeah, right.
Like, And yeah, there are certain family members that I'm on the verge of just straight up telling them that, because there are some times where it's not always a money thing. It's always, oh no, I'll take care of that. I'm like, they want to do a nice thing for you. It will make them feel good. You are just making them not feel good by doing it, by insisting on doing it.
Well, later in my life, there were other things I went through that I considered bad, worse, maybe even. And again, I didn't want to trouble my family with it. As foolish as that is, that's how I felt about it. But, you know, my wife, who was then just my friend, was there for me a lot of times when, like I said, either no one else could be or I wouldn't let anybody else be. And
it's good to have somebody. You need somebody.
And I mean,
otherwise it all just stews inside.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's why eventually we ended up together, because we were there for each other in ways that other people, like I said, either couldn't be or wouldn't be or we wouldn't let be, and it just worked out. And so I'm very grateful. I mean, I'm sure I couldn't pick out just one thing.
Yeah, I get that. That's the problem with all of this, is I'm like, people are constantly doing really nice things for me, sort of to their detriment. Like, friends and loved ones are always willing to do me a favor. They're always willing to help out. Sometimes if I ask, or sometimes without me asking. They always think the best of me, and they always think I have earned whatever favor I need from them, or want from them, or that they feel like it. Like, everybody's too nice to me. I don't think I've warranted the amount of love and support and affection and resources that I have been given by those around me, and I'm constantly amazed and super grateful that y'all are dumb enough to put up with me.
Well, yeah, I've been similarly blessed. Jazz does nice things for me all the time, out of nowhere.
Well, do some actually, nice one thing. Of the nicest things anybody's done for me is people who keep listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't get why you do that either.
I don't either.
I don't even listen to it.
I listen to it, but I don't get why anyone else does.
I'm like, really? Is there something here? And again, you're not keeping us afloat. We would keep doing it if nobody was listening. But we would feel a lot dumber about it.
Yeah, probably.
Like, and it means, our listeners mean a lot to me. Like, the fact that they are there and that they care and they want to be involved. And it's just hugely flattering. Like, you guys want to pay attention to us talking about whatever the fuck we talk about. And you find that interesting or amusing or strangely compelling, as Blood Sparrow used to say. That's very flattering. Because I can think of tons of people that you could put them in a room for an hour and they could talk, and I would not want to listen to them. And I'm on that list. So and honestly, it means a hell of a lot more to us than it does to fucking Marc Maron. Like, no offense to Marc Maron, but, you know, he's got millions of people as there. Sure. All the famous, but, like, we've only got, like, 10 of you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, each one of you is a really big deal to us. And so if you stop listening, I'm going to consider it a personal betrayal. And I will find you. I have a very specific set of skills. They mostly involve cultural anthropology and filing. So don't worry. You're fine.
He doesn't mean that. If you don't know anything about cultural anthropology, you have no idea how much trouble you're in. You have no idea what he could do to you.
It's awful. The Taken movies, I need to watch them, I finally have decided.
Because they're such a cultural touchstone?
No, because they're just the gift that keeps on giving. Just, they're so ridiculous and so constantly ripe for parody. It's just such a hilarious
concept. Liam Neeson himself does it all the time, parodies the whole thing.
It's just amazing that those are movies. I mean, honestly, the Fast and the Furious series is similar.
Yeah, but people don't riff on that like they do.
No, but the fun one, though, is we're talking about, like, the seventh one now, and you're seeing the trends, like, yeah, you remember this series about people doing street racing. What? Now they're, like, taking over governments and shit? Using rocket launchers? And how the fuck did this happen? But, this is, like, Taken is just so And that's the thing. Like, it's interesting. It's kind of funny the first time. By the third, I'm still not sure I technically believe there was a third movie. I feel like this might be an elaborate... Yes.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there might be an elaborate joke on me.
Oh, okay.
Right now. No, it's first movie, The Take of the Daughter. Second movie, I think, is the wife, or the ex-wife, or whatever. Third movie is the daughter again, but now it's like grown-up daughter.
Mm.
And I don't remember, like, one of the sequels is revenge for the previous movie.
Yeah.
Which I always find, like, I love that kind of revenge. It's like, oh, we kidnapped his daughter to sell her into slavery, and he came and killed us all for doing it. We have to get our revenge! Huh? I love... I'm going to make a website that just categorizes revenge ideas, because revenge almost never makes... Sometimes you get a perfect reciprocal, like, you know, you killed so-and-so, I'm going to kill you, or whatever. Even then, I disagree with it, but I'm like, I understand the reasoning there. But it never happens that way. It's always like, you, if we're lucky, killed someone I care about, and so I'm going to murder your whole family, or, like, all of your employees... Or, you know, I'm going to blow up your city for revenge. And sometimes that person's a villain. Sometimes that person is the hero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's to say, John Wick, that killed a puppy, he murdered a bajillion guys.
Which, I know a lot of people who would think that's about right. That's
no, don't get me wrong. It was awesome. But it's, and then unfortunately, in John Wick 2... he just murders a bajillion guys. Like, there's not even...
There's not even a reason?
Well, there is, but it's not a good one. Like, okay. I was not on his side in the second movie, which was awkward. In the first one, you're like, oh, I got it. And that's the thing. In the first one, it's somebody doing some egregious, gratuitously egregious shit. And so, like, it's very satisfying. Except for all the other people he murders! And, like, in the beginning of the second one, he murders a bunch of people just to get his car back.
Mm.
But he doesn't actually murder the guy who... Well, maybe he does murder. I don't know. But he murders a lot of people. A lot of murdering.
That's probably why I've never seen it, because murder's not entertainment for me.
This one's kind of badass, but... Yeah, I love those revenge stories. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Merry Christmas! Hail Satan! Hail Satan! What if I knew it? This is funny, because when I post this, and it's going to be called Merry Christmas, Hail Satan, like, when I post this to Facebook...
That'll be a problem.
There's a lot of people who are friends with me on Facebook that are going to be weirded the fuck out.
Probably. Yeah.
And I'm not worried about that. I'm kind of excited about that. Okay. I'm kind of like, if... Because here's the thing. You're going to be bothered one of two reasons. One, you think I'm a Satanist.
Mm-hmm.
Which, attached to that is you think Satan's real and that I'm worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, you think Satan's real... And that the mention of his name will, like, call down his dark power or whatever. Hmm. Like, that even if I'm kidding, then it's, oh, but just to say it, oh, tempt fate, da, da, da. And if it's the first one, you clearly don't know me well enough, and so fuck off anyway. If it's the second one, you're an idiot.
Well, very superstitious anyway.
Like I said, you're an idiot. I'm becoming too close-minded too early in my life, but I'm just so sick of everybody ruining everything for everybody else. You believe your shit, I'll believe my shit. We're good. So, do that.
Isn't... That sounds suspiciously like the First Amendment.
You're right. Your right to, as my mother would say to me many times, your right to swing your arm ends at the other guy's nose.
Yeah.
A lot of people do not get that. Everyone is just as important or just as unimportant as everyone else. Everyone is equally special. Everyone is equally deserving. Everybody should handle their own shit.
Well, just everyone's scared. Everyone's scared of something, and they feel like they have to lash out. And I wish they'd think about what they're scared of, because they might realize that they don't even know what they're scared about. And if they really thought about it, they'd realize they don't have anything to be scared about, and they can just let it go. But everyone is, not everyone, lots of people are very frightened, and they're acting out of that fear, and they feel justified in acting out of that fear. I don't know if they just need to reflect and realize, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense, or I don't know. You know, nobody's got a tiger crouching outside their door, but yeah, they're acting like they do.
As I got older and wiser and more self-aware, I started to get really bothered by all the gay jokes that straight guys make with each other, and the lisping and the pretending to be gay and all that.
Yeah.
And it bothered me. And nowadays, it doesn't, because I figured it out. That's, I mean, it's a horrible necessity, but that is a very large way of how straight homophobic men can express affection for each other.
That's interesting.
And I see it constantly, and I'm like, they need this. And I need this. I catch myself, as I've said before, I'm a goddamn homophobic bisexual. Like, because I was raised in that. So, like, homosexual panic kicks in and things. And I see it a lot. And again, I've been watching a lot of these British panel shows. They do it a lot. And it's much more, less insulting. It's just jokes about how they're gay. Like, for each other. And it's not like that's a bad thing, but just jokes about how, like, they're secretly involved in relationships and stuff. And I'm like, that's how they can be affectionate with each other. That's how they can flirt with each other. Because they're not comfortable doing it any other way. It has to be a joke.
Yeah.
But I think it absolutely serves a purpose. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a shitty that has to be that way. And it doesn't have to continue to be that way. We can change society and make that okay without having to do it at the expense of homosexuals. Or having to do it as a joke. Being, like, legitimately okay with that, and I still absolutely want to encourage that, but in the meantime, this is how they deal with their feelings. And I mean, they're not aware of it for the most part, and would in many cases freak out or punch me in the face for suggesting it. And I'm not saying necessarily that they're gay, but
this is just how they go.
This is what people do.
Yeah.
You and I have experienced, you and I, it doesn't show up as much, but back in the day, we had things of flirtation and stuff, and it was a lot easier when we were doing it online, and I was a woman there, because there was a different dynamic and so forth, and it worked. Just because it's weird. Like, even for me now, because I was raised in it. My friend Dan, we go out to eat or whatever, and he and I very consciously work at being open and honest, both verbally and physically, in our affection for each other. Even though it weirds us both out a little bit, because we know it is our problem, and we know we do care about each other, and we want to express that, and so we have to sort of, like, force the issue.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't at the point where they're willing to do that.
Well, a lot of people would argue that if you have to work so hard at it, maybe you're just denying natural inclinations. But
and that's the problem. And don't get me wrong, I think that definitely happens sometimes. Because too often you find huge gay bashers that, like,
I'm talking about what? People think it's a natural inclination for men not to be affectionate.
Okay, that one. No, fuck that, yeah.
I don't, I think no, that's, it's a cultural inclination. But a lot of people think that.
But the thing is, a lot of people like to play this, oh, you know, if you do that kind of stuff, you're secretly gay. And I'm like, sometimes it does happen. But also, that puts people on the defensive. And often that's not the case. So stop saying that, but just realize, but that's what, next time you see somebody doing that, realize that that's the only way they can express
Wouldn't it be nice if that point could be made and it didn't matter? It's like, do you think you're affectionate with this person because you're secretly gay? And the person could go, huh, you know what? I think I am. Or, no, I don't think so. And it would just be a simple thing like that. It wouldn't be a question of, because what happens when people say that is, what they're really saying is, do you think you're really trying to avoid a stigma? You know, they're not asking the person to reflect on their life and maybe have a healthy revelation about themselves.
Well, and there's plenty of people who are comfortable with that. Ron fucking White from the Tater Salad from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. Not exactly the leftist liberal dream out there, but he has a great bit talking about his homophobic friends and how he says everybody's a little gay, and his friends get really mad. He's like, I'll prove it to you. And he says, do you watch porn? The guy's like, yeah, I'll watch porn. He's like, not gay. He's, okay, do you only watch it when it's two girls? He's like, no, I'll watch a man and a woman make love. And he's like, okay. When you watch it, do you want the guy to just have a little tiny limp shriveled dick? He's like, no, I want him to have a big hard thrusting veiny cock. He's like, oh really? I didn't know that about you. And I mean, this joke is from like the 90s and it fucking killed because people know. Like, it's not, and you know, it's weird that it has to be said this way, but when Johnny Galecki, for years people speculated whether or not he was gay and he never addressed it, and then somebody in an interview one time was like, people are always speculating that, how come you've never said anything? And he's like, because I don't consider it an insult, so I don't care. And that's wonderful. I mean, it's weird that that's the immediate jump there, is that's what that must mean. But I think it does in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I think it does.
And that's the thing. Like, it should not be a big deal for people. It should not be a big deal to you to ask the question to yourself if you're gay.
No, it shouldn't be. You should be perfectly comfortable answering the question, thinking about it, imagining how it might be true or not true.
And I understand there can be fear because there is a stigma in society, and you're like, God damn it, if I'm gay, I have to go through all that shit. And that sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's society's problem. That's not your problem.
Well, it kind of becomes your problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying if you determine you're gay, yeah, I mean, that becomes the, if I don't think about it, then it's not true thing.
Like, yeah, yeah.
If you are gay or bi or whatever, or bi-curious, and you deny that, it doesn't make that not true. That's right. It just means you're in denial.
Right.
So, like, it should not be... And I ask these questions. And that could periodically, be really painful. I really stop painful. To see if I believe in the divine again. I check on that every once in a while.
Sure.
I haven't done this in a while now, but I used to occasionally pray to Jesus just to see if anything would happen. If I'd get the calling, if I'd been inspired or whatever.
Sure.
By the way, nothing. But every once in a while, I'll check.
I have the exact opposite experience. I often question, you know,
do
I really
pray to Carl Sagan? And no, God's like, nope.
Do I really believe, you know, is this something that's in my bones, or is it something my family has just planted in there and I don't really believe it? But I always come back to, I can't not, like, I couldn't, I mean, I'm not denying that maybe it is something that was implanted in me or whatever, but that, it doesn't matter. The point is, my experience is, I couldn't not believe if I, even if I really, really didn't want to.
And that I don't think you can very much control what you believe in.
But I think it's good to ask the question,
absolutely,
like you're just saying.
Absolutely, because you can fool yourself into thinking you believe or don't believe something that you actually do.
I mean, I have friends, Christian friends, who sometimes they're surprised by what books I read. And it's like, well, why are you surprised? I could never read that book because it would challenge my faith too much.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, what kind of faith is that?
Yeah, no, that's not.
I mean, so I don't, since they just told me that, I'm not going to sit there and have a discussion with them about their faith because I don't want them to have a crisis right in front of me. But I think to myself, that's no faith at all. I mean, if your faith is threatened by reading a book, that's not good. My faith's not.
If you have to purposely deny yourself knowledge out of fear that it will change your beliefs, you should look at those
like
beliefs.
Like Bertrand Russell, that there was a collection of his stuff about religion, and it's like someone said, oh, I could never read that because that would really challenge my faith. It's like, well, it didn't really challenge mine. It made me think about it.
Yep.
It made me, I wanted it to challenge my faith because it would either make my faith stronger or it would show me that I don't have faith in the first place.
A faith that can't hold up to scrutiny is not very good.
Right, so I wanted to either stop deluding myself into thinking I had faith or deepen my faith. One of those two things was going to happen. It's both good. So there you go. But to this person, no, there was always the possibility that their faith might get pushed out. I was like, ah, that's...
We are
That can't be right.
Well over time, but I do want to say, obviously William and I are aware that we are a couple of white guys living in middle America, and we have the privilege of expressing ourselves and being honest and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That not everybody has. But I feel like no matter how stuck you are, you should still be honest to yourself.
At least.
I'm not saying you have to, if you're in a Bible Belt community and they're very serious about their business and you're worried if you would say something if you didn't believe in God, you don't have to fool yourself. Like, be honest with yourself.
At least yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's great if you can do more, but I do understand there are challenges to that. But everybody should have the ability and should try to look at themselves and always be questioning.
I wish it wasn't like that. I mean, that's one thing. I've always had so much support in my life and stuff, and I'm grateful for it. But whenever I hear anybody else doesn't have that, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate knowing that that's true. I wish that wasn't true.
When I hit something that's so bad like that, that like at first I'm like, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Like, they're really... Parenting was a big one. The people who are... Like the parents that are like, when you're 18, you're out. When I'm legally no longer required to support you, you... That day, you have to figure your own shit out. There are parents like that, and I'm like, wow. I mean, that's your right, but I was raised by people who didn't believe that, and who raised me to believe that was not what you did with your kids. That gets so amazing. We're over time. I'm sick of your face. So we should wrap up. I hope everybody has happy holidays, and Merry Christmas, Hail Satan. And you gotta try and say it like it's just one phrase. Merry Christmas, Hail Satan. You can say it real fast, they won't know.
They'll think you're saying Santa exactly. At the end.
Exactly. So sorry, my tongue got tied. And listen again next week when it will almost be the new year, and you will find out all the cool G.I. Joe toys that I got for Christmas.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com.